This is Novel Marketing. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
I'm James L. Rubart.
And I'm Alan Arnold.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors.
This week, I'm very excited about this week because we are talking to Alan Arnold. And if you do not know who Alan is, he's one of the most experienced people I know in the entire publishing industry. Alan's background is actually as a marketer. He worked for some of the largest ad agencies in Dallas. So he brought that experience into the publishing world. And he worked his way up to the position of senior vice president and publisher for Thomas Nelson Fiction. And Alan was actually my publisher for a short period of time. He's now working for Ransomed Heart, again, in a publishing content brainstorming marketing capacity. So he's continuing to do this. But one of the things we wanted to talk to you about and have Alan share about is how do you market yourself in a situation where you can't be there? Specifically, we want to talk to Alan about PubBoard, where you have convinced...
But wait, we got to stop. What on earth is PubBoard?
Oh, okay.
What is PubBoard, this mysterious thing you speak of?
That's right. I talk like everyone knows who it is. So I'm going to... Alan, why don't you introduce yourself, just say hello, and tell us what is PubBoard?
Sure. Well, hello. Thank you for having me in this conversation. I love talking to writers and just thinking about how they can bring life to their story. And PubBoard is a big part of that. And the publishing board was actually one of my favorite days of the month that we would have. We would have a monthly meeting. It included our editorial and our marketing team and myself. So we usually would have about 8 or 9 people in the room. And the goal was in about 1.5 to 2 hours to go through usually 4 or 5 pitches or proposals to see what we thought as a team. And so the setting was... You know, imagine a table with 8 or 9 people and a lot of paper spread out, whiteboard, and there would be an advocate for each of those proposals that would have a few minutes, literally a few minutes, to try to tell the team about it. And the team hopefully would have read a chapter or two or the proposal before they walked into the room. And then it was a lively discussion, and it never, almost never went the way you would expect. So the one that was the sure bet,
right,
wouldn't happen. And the flyer, you know, the one that was brought in at the last minute, half the people didn't even have a chance to read, often would be the winner.
So I'm an author, and let's say I've met you at a writer's conference, and I pitched you, and you acquire my book. Now you take my manuscript to the pub board. I'm not there.
Right.
So I have to be able to communicate the value of the book to you in such a way where that you can then communicate the value of that book to the pub board and win that lively discussion.
Exactly.
So you're interrogated on my behalf and I'm not there to be like, no, it's really a good story. You're getting it all wrong. You know, it's got to be clear. That's a real communication challenge.
Well, it is. And it really starts, if you meet somebody at a writer's conference or talk to them by phone, it really starts before what's on the paper. It really starts with the engagement, whether in person, phone, email, with this writer, because you do start to form an opinion immediately. And part of that is based on, can the person speak with brevity? Can they succinctly express who they are before what their idea is? Because a lot of times you'll find yourself on the phone or in person, and it's 15 minutes later, and you've said hello, and they have not stopped talking, and you don't know what they're saying. You don't know where the conversation's going, and you think, this would be a nightmare to be engaged in this type of conversation for years over the course of a 2-book contract.
And Alan, I'm going to interrupt you. Can we go back even before PubBoard and talk about exactly what you're talking about in a writer's conference? Because I've heard you say many times, and this is a lesson I don't think we can emphasize enough. You've been at conferences where you're at a table of maybe 8 or 10 people, and you go around the table and you invite everybody to, hey, give me a quick pitch on your book.
Right.
And what typically happens?
Well, what typically happens in that setting is the one extreme to the other. You'll have the person who, in a few minutes, can actually capture your imagination, and you're so intrigued and you're so on the edge of your seat that you wish they would keep talking, but they wrap up. And then at that point, you're like, I want more. Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
There's the other person who is they have no way to even summarize what their book is. So they'll talk for 5 minutes and you don't even know the concept of the, is this a historical, or is this, are you saying this is a futuristic story, or is this, oh, well, no, it's this. And okay, but who's the protagonist again? Is it a, and you realize they just don't, they don't know how to articulate in a way that would invite anybody in. And I don't trust that person to be able to shepherd a story well.
Right.
Because they can't even describe. It's like asking somebody, do you have children? And 5 minutes later, you're still not sure if they have children, but they've talked the whole time.
And The majority of the people are the latter.
By far.
Okay.
Because learning how to articulate your book is a learned skill. No one's born knowing how to do that. And it's hard to see the story, the whole of it, when you're so buried in the woods. And someone's saying, hey, describe the forest that you're in. It's like, well, these leaves are amazing. You talk on and on about the leaves. And they're like, no, I need the story, the forest picture first. Do I really want to be in Mirkwood? That's the question you're asking as an editor. Yes. And they're talking about the leaves, and you're still trying to figure out what forest they're in.
Exactly. So it starts there. And now you can find people who you love talking to and hanging out with at a writer's conference who can't write to save their life. So It's not just that, but it's a great indication, because I believe an unexamined life makes a poor storyteller. And if you don't know enough about who you are, if you don't know enough about as a writer, if you don't know enough about your vision for the story, then that was a warning sign to me. And I think beyond that, when you have somebody who really is looking for you to try to help shape and figure it out, what they need is to back up. They need to find somebody, they need to find a writing group, they need to find somebody that they can partner with to understand the art of story and the art of succinctly explaining what their vision or their story is.
Because if you're going to pub board, and we want to talk about those bullets an author can put in your gun to fire at pub board, but one of the things that you would love to go into pub board and say, oh my gosh, this person is going to be great on the radio, they're going to be great in interviews because they know how to succinctly boil their story down to great sound bites. That would be something
that's
that you
huge. Because if you can't, and you're an editor internally, and you do like the story, but you look at the proposal and you realize this proposal is horrible. Like, the thing I love about the story, the main theme, the main hook, the writer hasn't even put in the proposal. And so, or the title is so misleading, you don't even understand where, you would never pick it up as a reader. And so it puts the burden at that point on the editor or the publisher to say, whoa, I've got to recraft this before I can even present it. Because as it is now, it won't pass. It's a great story, but it won't pass. So that is the best thing I think a writer can do, is know your story, number one, because you really can't write a better story than you're living.
Yeah.
Know your own story, the themes of your life. Know how to succinctly talk about then the story that you're writing based on the themes you have. And if you've really, you hear people talk about the elevator pitch all the time. But that's such a true need. If you cannot describe your book, your story, within 5-6 sentences, then how in the world do you expect anybody else to catch the vision? Because the reality is, Jim, beyond pub board, then if we accept that book, if we take it in, at some point the salesman is going to be pitching it to Barnes & Noble or to the Amazon rep or to Lifeway. And when they do, they have probably 12 titles and probably 15, 20, 30 minutes. And so at best, they're going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes on your book.
On
sometimes.
The high end.
And that's a high end, right. And so, and this is presenting it to a buyer for a retail chain or group that is hearing about hundreds of books within about a 2-month period. So if they can't succinctly describe it, that buyer's going to pass or maybe take one copy per store. So it starts at the writer's conference or in that initial conversation, but the principle carries through not only then to pub board, to internally to the sales team at the sales conference, but then to the actual presenting to the end buyer.
And more than that.
Wow.
because it also extends to the reader.
To the reader.
Yeah. Can right. I tell you a friend of mine about a book that I've read, and can I summarize it in one sentence?
Yes.
And so take that all the way back. If it's unclear, if the author can't do it in one sentence, there's no way it's going to get through all of those people to the reader who then tells the other reader about it in one sentence. And so for those of you listening, like, man, I don't want to have to go through all these steps. I'm just going to self-publish. Well, you still got to get your readers in a couple sentences to be able to sell each other. Otherwise, you're just going to have your mom and a few friends reading your book,
right?
Which is what the sad result is for a lot of self-published books, is that they're not willing to go through the marketing and the honing and the refining. You can be successful as a self-published author, but you still have to go through all those steps as if you were traditionally published.
Exactly. And that's why we harp and harp and harp on the fact that you have to learn marketing, because marketing permeates all of it. Marketing is in some ways simply communicating ideas powerfully and persuasively and concisely. And you have to do that with your books. I'm sure I've never been in Pub Board, but I've heard rumors that sometimes members of Pub Board will come in and have not read the proposal and not read the sample chapters. And so
that never happened at your publisher.
I know that never
sure.
happened with your team, Alan. But
oh, listen, if only you knew. Yeah.
But so, right. so the whole sell is going to be those three or four sentences that come out of the editor's mouth. That's going to be a big part of it.
Well, and Pub Board is really, at least for Thomas Nelson and in my experience there, it was a two-part, because if you passed Pub Board, meaning in that room, everybody left saying, yeah, we like this. Well, then we still would have kind of the second Pub Board, which was with the broader team. It would be with the sales force. It would be with the CFO. It would be with the larger group who were part of the Thomas Nelson Publishing Corporation. And so in that setting, then it's the same thing on a larger scale, in that, you know, you've got a room of 25 people and you're one division in the company out of numerous divisions that these other people all try to help support. And so, and usually a day, two, three before that meeting, they get an email with four proposals from you, four from the other division, four from the other division, and they're for 2 days in this room. Well, there's no way most of them have time to read 30 proposals. And so even more so in that setting, even after the Pub Board, if you're one of the winners, quote winners, you have the broader then team that has to give a thumbs up, because those are the people saying, I think I can sell 5,000, 10,000. And that's where the internal performa gets put together, that ultimately would decide, yes, we're going to make this author an offer and we can provide this much of an advance.
So how much money? It's not just about whether or not you get a yes, it's how big of a yes you get.
Right.
Because the bigger of an advance you get, typically the more marketing muscle the publisher puts behind it.
Right. And most of the time in those settings, the yes from the larger team is based on the concept, the platform, and maybe somebody skimming a page or two.
Okay. So you have my attention. I realize selling to Pub Board is really important. We have a few minutes left. Let's get to some practical tips. And one, before we go around and do the practical tips, is to practice. So you're at a cocktail party, somebody says, what do? You say, I'm a writer. What's the very next question you always get?
What's your book about?
What do you write?
Right.
That is a chance to practice your elevator pitch. And I would say for those of you listening, you should start practicing this right now, and you should measure success based on the number of follow-up questions you get. So if you say, I write women's fiction, and then there's crickets afterwards, you have failed to do your elevator pitch. So a genre answer is a failure.
Well, and Thomas, it's also, I think, in that example, be observant. Watch the other person's face. If you see them start to glaze over, if you see them listening, nodding their head, but then you ask a follow-up question, so what is that resonating with you, or what do you think? And you realize they don't even understand what I just said.
Right.
Like, they don't even know what post-apocalyptic is. So I lost them in the first sentence. So it really is, to be a writer, you have to be observant to the situation around you, to the mood of the room, the people around you, to read that. If you can't read that very well, if you don't know you're boring somebody to tears or they've checked out and you just think, as long as they stand there, I'm going to keep talking. So I think part of it is who you are as a storyteller. It has to start with observing the characters around you in the real world.
Which also would make you presumably a better author as well, because the more you notice people, the more you can describe them in your story.
Right.
Let me talk about a way I got into pub board, got before the pub board, and it was not my idea. It was Alan's idea. And when Alan was trying to sell me to pub board at Thomas Nelson, he said, Jim, can you put together a, you know, 2-minute video of yourself and your passion and why you write story? And so I actually filmed myself, you know, on an iPhone. It wasn't sophisticated, and sent that to Alan, and Alan was able to play that. Now, I'm not sure if that's something that you did often, but in my mind, that's a pretty creative way to get in front of these people.
It absolutely is, because they not only are looking at your story concept and hook on a piece of paper, but they're seeing you. And when you're investing in a writer, yes, you're investing in the story, but you're really on a deeper level investing in the person. That person you're trusting to go the distance. And if we can get you an interview on the Today Show, if we can get you an interview in front of somebody, then you need to shine and not be fake, but we need to see in that person, they have the passion, they have the ability to communicate, they will draw people to their story because of who they are as a storyteller. So the video ideas, yes, I mean, it's fantastic because it gives a glimpse. But at the same time, we've had videos from authors where we've said internally, we're not, there's no way in the world we're showing that video, because they're a good writer, but the video is going to cause it to go the other way.
Right.
Once they see how this person communicates.
And one thing I would say is play to your strengths. So right. Jim, for you, you have a lot of experience pitching.
Right.
Not just yourself, but, you know, in your day job before you were a writer, you pitched a lot. And so that was something that you had the skill set to do. And so for those of you listening, think about what your strengths are. You know, if you're a really good writer, maybe think about written ways of promoting your book.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe it's you've got this wonderfully written, perfect paragraph that the sales team are like, man, this back cover copy is shovel ready. You know, we can just copy and paste from this proposal, write it, put it on the back of the book, and it'll sell the book. And so play to your strengths. Don't feel like, oh, I've got to become articulate. You know, right. It helps, but, you know, you don't have to be perfect at everything. You just have to be really good at one thing.
And you need to give the team some things, some handles or hooks to go in there to excite the rest of the group. If you don't do it, it won't happen, because these are busy people who have far more things already on their plate than just your proposal. And so the ability to say, here are some unique things about me. Here's why I was born to write this story. Here's, hey guys, what if you in the pub board, what if you showed them this or said this? And it doesn't make then that team, the editor, have to think of all those things for you. The last thing I would offer on this is what's the kiss of death? And to me, the kiss of death from an author who I was considering, you know, this happened many times before pub board, they would say, hey, I've got 3-4 ideas. Let me just send them to you. Each are 1 page. You pick which one you want to present at pub board, because we'd like to work together. So here's just an assortment of ideas. You get the 1-pagers, you know, in your email, you open it up, and one is a Western and one is Amish fiction and one is suspense and one is fantasy. And you're going, wow, this person has no idea who they are as a writer, because nobody wants a jack of all trades. Nobody wants the person who says, you just tell me what you want and I can do it. Like, I'll do whatever. Is Amish fiction hot? I can do that. But next year, is it, you know, suspense? Well, I can do that. And because what you realize then is that person is not a specialist. They are not writing from a deep place of passion. They are, it may be too strong to say a hack writer, but they are willing to do whatever. So my advice for writers would be, don't do that. Know your brand, know yourself, know your calling, and whether it works or not, go for it.
And I would say that applies to readers too. No reader wants to read a writer who's pretty good at their favorite genre.
Yes.
Yeah, a good portion of readers only read 2 or 3 books a year. And so those people aren't looking for, I want kind of a so-so book. They're like, if I'm only going to read 2 books this year, I want to read the 2 best books.
Yes.
And so that's what the whole market is about. It's finding about the best. Like, you have to be better than John Grisham if you want to write his genre, or there people are just going to read John Grisham. Like, that's the kind of competition that you're facing as a writer. And so it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. But the good news is that practice will pay off. If you study, if you practice, you can become better than you are.
All right, Alan, thank you so much for joining us. This was great. Love it. We're going to have you back, I think, at some point. So, Thomas, the sponsor.
Novel Marketing Podcast brought to you by Author Media. If you're looking to take your online platform to the next level, particularly with a powerful website that doesn't just rank well on Google but helps you sell books, you can find out more about how to get that kind of website at authormedia.com.
And if you like the Novel Marketing Podcast, please tell a friend, email them, say, hey, check this out. And if you want to go absolutely crazy, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And we would appreciate that.
You've been listening to the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to sell yourself and your writing online, offline, and everywhere in between.